Here's what nobody wants to tell you about J.P. Morgan's Project Atlas. While everyone is celebrating this $2 billion blockchain revolution that promises to save the industry $1.5 billion annually, here's the reality check. This isn't just disrupting settlement times. This is J.P. Morgan positioning itself as the infrastructure monopolist of American equity markets. Think about it. When AT&T owned the phone lines, they didn't just facilitate calls. They controlled who could communicate with whom, at what price, and on what terms. Now Jamie Dimon wants to own the digital rails that every stock trade in America rides on. The platform launches live pilot in Q4 2026, backed by BNY Mellon, State Street, and a mysterious fintech called XChain that nobody was talking about 6 months ago. 15 major banks controlling 70% of U.S. equity volume are already signed up. But here's the question that should keep you awake tonight. What happens when the institution that processes your trades also competes with your business? Welcome back to Edge Capital Insights. I'm Sloan. Today, we're going deep on Project Atlas, J.P. Morgan's blockchain gambit that could either revolutionize American markets or hand the financial system's keys to a single consortium. This matters right now because the funding announcement last Tuesday didn't just move markets. It revealed the endgame of a five-year shadow war between traditional financial infrastructure and blockchain insurgents. Let me take you back to the before times. Picture the U.S. equity settlement system as it existed just 18 months ago. Every stock trade you made, whether you bought 10 shares of Apple or Goldman moved a billion-dollar block, followed the same antiquated path. Trade executed on Tuesday. Settlement happens Thursday. That's T plus two, and it's been the standard since 2017, which was actually an improvement from the T plus three standard that had governed markets since the 1920s. This system runs on infrastructure that predates the iPhone. The Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation processes these trades through mainframe computers running COBOL code written when Ronald Reagan was president. No, I'm not exaggerating. The average settlement failure rate hovers around 12 basis points of total volume. That translates to roughly $4 billion in failed settlements monthly, requiring a complex web of borrowing arrangements, penalty fees, and regulatory capital requirements that cost the industry approximately $10 billion annually. Here's what that looks like in practice. When your broker sells shares you don't actually own, they need to borrow those shares from someone who does. This creates a daisy chain of counterparty risk. If one link breaks, say Lehman Brothers suddenly can't deliver the securities they promised, the entire chain can unravel. The 2008 financial crisis wasn't just about subprime mortgages. Settlement failures in the lead-up to Lehman's collapse created cascading liquidity crises that turned a housing problem into a global financial meltdown. The current system requires massive amounts of capital held in reserve. Banks collectively hold over $200 billion in settlement-related capital that just sits there, earning nothing, protecting against the possibility that someone won't deliver the securities they promised. That's $200 billion that could be deployed productively, but instead functions as an expensive insurance policy against 1970s era technology. Now let's examine who controls the system. The DTCC is technically member-owned, but in practice, it's governed by the largest banks who use it. J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Goldman Sachs don't just participate in the DTCC, they effectively control it through voting rights proportional to their usage volume. It's a classic example of regulatory capture disguised as industry self-regulation. the technology stack is equally concentrated. Most of the actual processing happens through systems maintained by a handful of vendors. FIS, Broadridge, and State Street provide the pipes that move data between institutions. These companies have spent decades building moats around their businesses through regulatory compliance requirements and integration complexity. Switching costs are astronomical because replacing settlement infrastructure requires simultaneous coordination among thousands of market participants. This is the world Project Atlas wants to replace. But here's where the story gets interesting. JP Morgan isn't some blockchain startup trying to disrupt the big banks. JP Morgan IS, the big bank. They're not trying to decentralize finance. They're trying to recentralize it under their control. The project emerged from JP Morgan's internal blockchain research division, which has been experimenting with distributed ledger technology since 2015. Their JPM coin project, launched in 2019, was initially dismissed as a publicity stunt, but it processed over $300 billion in transactions last year. That's not a pilot program. That's a production system with enterprise scale. Jamie Dimon's conversion story on blockchain is particularly revealing. In 2017, he called Bitcoin a fraud. By 2001, he was praising blockchain technology while maintaining skepticism about cryptocurrencies. The distinction: Bitcoin represents decentralized, permissionless value transfer. JPM coin represents centralized, permissioned value transfer. Same technology, completely opposite philosophy. The Atlas Consortium formation tells you everything about JP Morgan's strategy. They didn't partner with blockchain companies or fintech disruptors. They partnered with other incumbent infrastructure providers. BNY Mellon runs custody for $15 trillion in assets. State Street processes settlements for 30% of global equity trades. These aren't companies looking to disrupt the existing order. They're companies looking to digitize their existing monopolies. Here's what they're not telling you about the bull case and why it's actually more compelling than the marketing suggests. The 30% reduction in settlement failures isn't just an efficiency gain, it's a fundamental shift in counterparty risk. Real-time gross settlement means trades clear instantly with finality, no more waiting 2 days wondering if the other side will deliver. No more borrowing arrangements to cover short positions. No more cascading failures when one participant defaults. But let's steelman this argument properly. The current system's inefficiencies aren't just costs. They're systemic risks that threaten financial stability. During the GameStop saga in January 2021, Robinhood didn't halt trading because of some conspiracy. They halted trading because the existing settlement system required them to post massive collateral for trades that wouldn't settle for 2 days. In a blockchain-based real-time system, those trades would have settled instantly, eliminating the collateral requirement entirely. The $1.5 billion in annual savings breaks down into several categories. First, reduced capital requirements. Banks can free up approximately $60 billion currently held against settlement risk. At a 5% cost of capital, that's $3 billion in annual savings right there. Second, operational efficiency. The average settlement operation employs hundreds of people managing exceptions, failures, and reconciliation. Blockchain automation could reduce these headcounts by 40 to 60%. Third, and this is where it gets interesting, new revenue opportunities. Real-time settlement enables new types of financial products that are impossible under T+2. Intraday leverage strategies become viable when you can settle positions multiple times per day. high-frequency trading strategies that currently require massive capital buffers could operate with significantly less risk capital. The data monetization angle is particularly compelling. Every transaction on the blockchain creates an immutable audit trail with timestamps, counterparties, and settlement status. This data is extraordinarily valuable for regulatory compliance, risk management, and market analysis. The current system generates this data, but keeps it fragmented across dozens of different databases. A unified blockchain ledger aggregates all of this information in real time. Goldman Sachs estimates that transaction data and analytics could represent a $4 billion annual revenue opportunity for blockchain settlement providers. That's not speculative fintech projections. That's Goldman's internal analysis based on what they currently pay for similar data services. Historical precedent supports the efficiency argument. When the London Stock Exchange moved from T+5 to T+3 settlement in 1995, settlement failures dropped by 45% and operational costs fell by 30% within 2 years. When Euroclear automated cross-border settlement in 2007, processing costs per transaction declined by 60%. Infrastructure upgrades in financial markets consistently deliver outsized efficiency gains because the legacy systems they replace are typically decades behind technological possibilities. The network effects argument is also compelling. Settlement systems become more valuable as more participants join. A blockchain settlement network with 15 major banks and 70% market coverage creates immediate liquidity advantages. Smaller participants join because that's where the volume is. More participants create more liquidity, which attracts more participants. This is the classic platform dynamic that made Visa and MasterCard near monopolies in payments. But here's the sophisticated bull case that most analysts are missing. Project Atlas isn't just about settlement efficiency. It's about smart contract automation of complex financial workflows. Current settlement requires manual intervention for corporate actions, dividend payments, stock splits, and merger transactions. Each of these events creates opportunities for errors, delays, and additional costs. Smart contracts can automate these processes with programmable logic that executes instantly when predetermined conditions are met. Consider what this means for merger arbitrage. Today, when Company A announces an acquisition of Company B, there's settlement risk between announcement and closing that creates pricing inefficiencies. Arbitrageurs must factor in the possibility that the merger fails or gets delayed. With smart contracts, the settlement terms could be programmed directly into the transaction. If regulatory approval occurs, shares automatically convert. If the deal fails, positions automatically unwind. This eliminates settlement uncertainty and should reduce merger spreads by 20 to 30 basis points. The total addressable market for blockchain settlement services extends beyond just equity trades, corporate bond settlement, foreign exchange, and derivatives clearing. All face similar inefficiencies. A successful equity settlement blockchain creates the technical foundation and regulatory precedent for expanding into these adjacent markets. McKinsey estimates the total global settlement services market at approximately $40 billion annually. Project Atlas could capture 15 to 20% of that market within 5 years. Now let's examine what could go spectacularly wrong, because the bear case is more terrifying than anyone wants to admit. Start with operational risk. The current settlement system, for all its inefficiencies, has been battle-tested through multiple financial crises, market crashes, and operational disruptions, We know its failure modes. We understand how to fix them. We have backup procedures and manual workarounds. Blockchain settlement is largely untested at the scale and complexity required for U.S. equity markets. The cyber risk profile is particularly concerning. Centralized blockchain platforms create what security experts call honeypot attacks. Instead of hackers needing to breach multiple systems across dozens of institutions, they only need to compromise a single platform to access the entire market's transaction data. The Equifax breach exposed the personal data of 147 million Americans through a single point of failure. Now imagine that scaled to every equity transaction in American markets. The technical architecture matters here. Public blockchains like Bitcoin achieve security through decentralization. No single point of failure because thousands of nodes validate transactions independently. Private blockchains like Project Atlas sacrifice this security model for performance and control. The consortium controls which nodes can participate, which transactions get validated, and which versions of the software get deployed. This creates technical vulnerabilities that don't exist in truly decentralized systems. Market fragmentation represents an existential threat to market efficiency. Today's equity markets benefit from consolidated liquidity across multiple exchanges and dark pools. The national market system regulations explicitly protect this consolidated market structure, but if 70% of trading volume moves to blockchain settlement, while 30% remains on legacy systems, you've essentially created two separate markets for the same securities. This fragmentation could manifest in several destructive ways. Price discovery becomes less efficient when trading volume is split across incompatible systems. Arbitrage opportunities emerge between blockchain-settled shares and legacy-settled shares of the same company. Market makers need to maintain inventory and risk management systems for both markets. Transaction costs increase for everyone because liquidity is diluted. The regulatory uncertainty extends far beyond simple approval processes. The SEC and Federal Reserve don't just need to approve Project Atlas, they need to fundamentally rewrite decades of market structure regulations. Current rules assume T+2 settlement. Real-time settlement breaks assumptions embedded throughout the regulatory framework. Consider just one example, margin requirements. Current margin rules are calibrated based on T+2 settlement risk. If settlement becomes instantaneous, do margin requirements decrease? If so, how do you prevent excessive leverage? If margin requirements stay the same, what's the point of faster settlement? These aren't technical questions. They're policy decisions that could take years to resolve. The political economy problems are even messier. Project Atlas threatens to eliminate thousands of jobs across back office operations, clearing firms, and settlement services. These aren't abstract efficiency gains. They're people losing their livelihoods to blockchain automation. The political coalition against Project Atlas includes not just legacy technology vendors, but also labor unions, regional banks that depend on settlement float, and politicians representing districts with significant financial services employment. Here's the historical parallel that should worry everyone. The derivatives market in the early 2000s, financial innovation outpaced regulatory oversight, creating systemically risky products that weren't properly understood until they nearly destroyed the global financial system. Credit default swaps were supposed to make markets more efficient by allowing risk transfer. Instead, they created interconnected webs of counterparty risk that amplified rather than reduced systemic instability. Project Atlas could repeat this pattern on an even larger scale. Real-time settlement enables new types of leverage strategies and complex financial products. Smart contracts can automate sophisticated trading algorithms that execute without human oversight. The combination of increased leverage and decreased human intervention creates the potential for flash crashes that make the 2010 incident look like a minor glitch. The market concentration risk is the most underappreciated danger. If Project Atlas succeeds, JP Morgan doesn't just become a major bank. They become the infrastructure monopolist for American equity markets. This creates systemic risk that goes far beyond traditional banking regulation. When AT&T controlled the phone system, a single company outage could disrupt communications nationwide. When JP Morgan controls equity settlement, a single platform failure could freeze American capital markets. The consortium structure provides some protection against single institution risk, but it also creates coordination problems. What happens when consortium members disagree about platform upgrades, fee structures, or new participant admissions? The governance mechanisms for resolving disputes among competing financial institutions remain undefined. Corporate governance theory suggests that coalitions of rivals are inherently unstable, especially when billions of dollars in revenue are at stake. Consider the precedent of Visa and MasterCard, which started as bank consortiums before becoming independent public companies. The transition created decades of antitrust litigation and regulatory intervention. The Department of Justice has already indicated scrutiny of big tech platforms that control essential digital infrastructure. JP Morgan controlling equity settlement infrastructure would face similar regulatory pressure, but with potentially more severe systemic consequences. The $10 billion in incumbent revenues at risk isn't just an abstract number. It represents the business models of dozens of public companies. Broadridge derives 60% of its revenue from settlement-related services. FIS generates billions annually from legacy clearing technology. State Street's custody business depends on settlement, float, and related services. These companies won't disappear quietly. They have lobbying budgets, legal departments, and political relationships built over decades. The counterattack from legacy providers will likely focus on regulatory compliance and systemic risk arguments. They'll argue that blockchain settlement hasn't been tested through a major market crisis. They'll highlight cybersecurity vulnerabilities and operational risks. They'll mobilize political support from regions dependent on financial services, employment. This isn't just business competition. It's a political battle over the future structure of American capital markets. The most sophisticated version of the bear case focuses on unintended consequences. Financial markets are complex, adaptive systems where participants continuously adjust their behavior in response to new conditions. Real-time settlement will change trading strategies, risk management practices, and market microstructure in ways that are impossible to predict. The current system's inefficiencies may actually provide valuable stabilizing mechanisms that prevent market volatility from amplifying out of control. High-frequency trading already demonstrates how technological efficiency can create new forms of market instability. Making settlement instantaneous could accelerate these dynamics beyond human comprehension or regulatory control. The 2010 flash crash lasted 36 minutes, partly because T+2 settlement created natural circuit breakers that slowed down the cascade of selling. Real-time settlement removes these speed bumps entirely. So what does this mean for you, sitting in your office or your car, trying to figure out how Project Atlas affects your portfolio, your career, or your clients? Let's start with retail investors. If you're buying and holding index funds through a major brokerage, Project Atlas probably improves your experience marginally. Settlement failures become less common, which means fewer delayed transactions and reduced operational costs that could translate to slightly lower fees. The benefit is real, but modest, maybe 5 to 10 basis points annually in reduced costs. But if you're an active trader, the implications are more significant. Real-time settlement enables new types of strategies that are impossible under T+2. Day trading becomes more capital efficient when you can settle positions multiple times daily. Short-term arbitrage opportunities become viable when settlement risk disappears. Options strategies that currently require significant capital buffers could operate with less collateral. The risk for retail investors comes from increased market volatility. Real-time settlement removes natural stabilizers from the market system. Flash crashes could happen faster and recover more quickly, but the intraday volatility could be extreme. If you're a long-term investor, this probably doesn't matter. If you're trying to time the market, it could be catastrophic. For institutional investors, Project Atlas represents both opportunity and existential threat. Large asset managers like BlackRock and Vanguard benefit from reduced operational costs and improved portfolio efficiency. But mid-tier institutions that compete on superior execution or specialized services could find their advantages eroded. When settlement becomes commoditized and automated, differentiation shifts to other areas. Hedge funds face a more complex calculation. Sophisticated strategies that currently provide alpha through superior settlement efficiency lose their edge when efficiency becomes universal. But new strategies become possible through smart contract automation and real-time risk management. The winners will be funds that adapt quickly to the new infrastructure. The losers will be funds whose current advantages depend on navigating legacy system inefficiencies. Pension funds and insurance companies confront a different set of challenges. These institutions benefit from reduced settlement risk and lower operational costs, but they also rely on settlement float, the ability to earn returns on cash held during settlement periods. Real-time settlement eliminates this float entirely, reducing returns for institutions that depend on every basis point of performance. Regional banks and community financial institutions face the most severe disruption. Many of these institutions generate significant revenue from settlement services, custody operations, and related back office functions. Project Atlas threatens to automate or eliminate these revenue streams entirely. The competitive response requires technology investments that many smaller institutions cannot afford. The career implications extend across the financial services industry. Settlement operations, trade processing, and reconciliation roles will disappear through automation, but new roles emerge in blockchain development, smart contract programming, and digital asset management. The transition favors technologically sophisticated professionals and threatens traditional back office careers. For fintech companies, Project Atlas creates both competitive opportunity and strategic risk. Startups building blockchain-based financial services benefit from increased industry legitimacy and improved infrastructure, but they also compete against JP Morgan's vast resources and established relationships. The platform could either enable fintech innovation or crush it through anti-competitive practices. Here's the actionable intelligence. if you work in financial services, start learning blockchain technology now. Not because blockchain will solve every problem, but because the institutions that control blockchain infrastructure will control the next generation of financial markets. Whether Project Atlas succeeds or fails, blockchain literacy becomes a professional requirement within 5 years. If you're investing in financial services companies, focus on technology adaptation rather than legacy revenue streams. Companies like Charles Schwab and Interactive Brokers that invest heavily in platform modernization will benefit from blockchain settlement. Companies like traditional clearing firms and settlement service providers face obsolescence without successful pivots. For policymakers and regulators, Project Atlas demands new frameworks for overseeing systemically important financial infrastructure. The current regulatory structure assumes government agencies can oversee private companies providing financial services. But blockchain infrastructure creates network effects and switching costs that approach natural monopoly characteristics. This requires regulatory approaches similar to public utility oversight rather than traditional banking regulation. The specific action items depend on your position in the ecosystem. If you're a portfolio manager, start modeling how real-time settlement affects your trading strategies and cost structure. If you're a risk manager, examine how blockchain infrastructure changes your operational risk profile. If you're a technology executive, evaluate whether your systems can integrate with blockchain settlement networks. But here's the most important implication. Project Atlas isn't just about settlement efficiency. It's about who controls the infrastructure that American capitalism depends on. Today, that infrastructure is fragmented across dozens of institutions and regulatory agencies. Tomorrow, it could be controlled by a single consortium led by JP Morgan. This concentration of power creates systemic risks that extend far beyond financial markets. When essential infrastructure becomes privately controlled, public policy becomes subject to private interests. The decisions about who can access markets, at what cost, and on what terms shift from democratic institutions to corporate boardrooms. The historical precedent suggests this concentration is probably inevitable. Network effects and economies of scale tend to create natural monopolies in infrastructure industries. But the policy response matters enormously. We can accept private control with strong regulatory oversight, push for public alternatives, or break up concentrations before they become entrenched. Project Atlas forces that choice within the next 18 months. By the time the platform launches in Q4 26, the competitive dynamics will be largely determined, the regulatory frameworks will be established, the market structure will be locked in for the next decade. The decision isn't just technical or economic, it's fundamentally political. Do we want JP Morgan to become the AT&T of financial markets? Do we trust private consortiums to operate essential infrastructure fairly and efficiently? Do we believe market forces will prevent abuse of monopoly power? Your answer to these questions should determine how you position your investments, your career, and your political advocacy over the next 2 years. The most likely outcome is that Project Atlas succeeds technically, but faces ongoing regulatory and political challenges. The platform will process transactions efficiently and reduce settlement costs as promised. But it will also concentrate market power in ways that trigger antitrust scrutiny and regulatory intervention. The next decade will be a continuous battle over the terms of JP Morgan's infrastructure monopoly, rather than a simple transition to blockchain settlement. the second most likely outcome is regulatory delay and market fragmentation. Political pressure forces modifications to the platform that reduce its efficiency advantages while maintaining legacy system complexity. We end up with the worst of both worlds. Blockchain costs without blockchain benefits. The least likely but most consequential outcome is outright failure. Technical problems, cybersecurity breaches, or regulatory rejection force abandonment of the project. This would vindicate traditional infrastructure providers and delay blockchain adoption by 5 to 10 years. The cost would be measured in trillions of dollars of continued inefficiency across global financial markets. Here's my prediction. Project Atlas launches on schedule in Q4 2020 and achieves its technical objectives. Settlement failures decline. Operational costs decrease and new financial products emerge. But the platform's success creates political backlash that results in regulatory breakup within 5 years. JP Morgan's infrastructure monopoly becomes too politically threatening to sustain, forcing divestiture into a regulated public utility structure. The winners will be early blockchain adopters who position themselves correctly for the transition. The losers will be legacy providers who resist change and institutions that depend on current system inefficiencies. But the biggest winner will be American capital markets, which finally get infrastructure worthy of the 21st century. That's Edge Capital Insights for today. I'm Sloan. Stay sharp, stay skeptical. And we'll be back next week examining why NVIDIA's AI chip shortage might actually be a deliberate strategy to maintain pricing power. The semiconductor shortage isn't supply chain problems, it's monopoly management. We'll show you the data they don't want you to see.